Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, you guys hear me? Start cheering now. Yeah, let's get this over with. Yeah.
Woof, woof. Hi, I'm Mike Benotti, and I am a Nintendog.
Hi, I'm Jeff Grubb, and I'm a Nintendog.
And we are the last of the Nintendogs. Today, August NPDs are out. Suikoden is back, baby. And we're going to talk about those Nintendo Royals. I am Lord. Jeff, how's it going?
That's going pretty good. I'm actually pretty tired. It's been another long day.
Tuesdays are long days for you.
Yes, we got the Bombcast. I did a lot of quick... I recorded three different quick looks today, or was part of three different quick looks today. And then I had to re-record one of them, so technically four.
One got re-recorded?
Cowabunga Collection. It was just a small error in the recording audio. But, you know, we did it again. It wasn't a long one, thankfully, because, you know, we know those games, so it was all good. But it was... So it was good to get a lot of work done, and then the Bombcast was really fun.
That's good. Did you guys play the that Metroidvania Game Boy one?
Jason was piloting, and I asked him to bring it up so I can get just a quick look at it. Even though I have it, I was probably going to play some of it here pretty soon. But yeah, we checked that one out and checked out like the LCD filter and things like that.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. I like that collection a lot, Jeff. I played a ton of it. In fact, it kind of was what... held me off from like starting Xenoblade when everybody else did, but I've been catching up ground there. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Other than that though, I am everyone's still sick in my house. It's been like, you know, a week and a half straight of just different diseases that they're getting from just being in schools, and so I'm like starting to get run down from having to like run around so much and take care of everybody and making sure everyone's all right. But, you know, it's better than being sick, I guess. Somehow I've still avoided being sick, which means it's all going to happen at once at some point. So
yeah, you thought you were getting pink eye and then you kind of dodged that bullet.
And I thought I was getting a sore throat and then that went away after a day. So I think mostly I'm just kind of
maybe
lucky
those were
here.
Stress related, Jeff.
Maybe that's what was happening. Absolutely.
Call me crazy.
Yes.
All right, Jeff, why don't we get to this?
Let's do it.
First thing, you know, we got some NPDs today. Isn't that fun?
It
came out on a Tuesday. I think it got delayed a little bit, so we can talk about it now.
Yeah, I was not prepared for it, so I didn't even include it in the Bombcast. I'm like, I'll talk about it on GameS Mornings tomorrow. So a little practice. What happened in the NPD report?
Well, so there was a content accessories declined 5%. Across everything was a 5% decrease compared to a year ago. That's not... too unusual, although it's still higher than what it was like two Augusts ago, like
right,
August 2020.
Pre-pandemic, yeah.
So
August 2020. That is the pandemic, right? So yeah, so it's still growing.
So the good news is that video game hardware dollar sales grew 14% compared to a year ago. This is kind of just speaking to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S are easier to find. So that is kind of the good news here. Mm-hmm. Now, PlayStation 5 was the best-selling hardware system in both unit and dollar sales. Switch sold the highest number of units in 2022 thus far. PlayStation 5 is leading the market in dollar sales. So, you know, it used to be, Jeff, that Switches kind of automatically did this one always, and we always said, yeah, well, PlayStation 5 will catch up when supply starts picking up. And it looks like that is happening.
Yeah, and it was bound to happen. here we are. It's actually kind of good news. It means things are going back to the way they should be at this point in both these system site life cycles. I think that Nintendo will be looking at this stuff and being like, yeah, you know, this is kind of maybe giving us the idea that it is going to be time to move on here pretty soon. But, you know, we have that conversation all the time. Overall here, these systems all continue to sell pretty well. I see that hardware sales overall up 14% like year over year. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Talking about the games, number one is Madden NFL 23. Not a giant surprise there. Number two, though, is Saints Row. That's kind of surprising to me that that game kind of dodged a bullet in terms of the reviews, right? And that didn't seem to have a big negative effect here. You know, we talked how they couldn't afford two misses because this studio did Agents of Mayhem, which debuted terribly. And Saints Row debuting at number two, that has to be good enough, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably good enough. I mean, it's got to be within their expectations, I would hope, to come out and be behind Madden, but ahead of like a lot of other games that came out in some cases many months ago, some cases many years ago, but ahead of Mario Kart, Multiverses, Elden Ring, Spider-Man. That's like big game after big game. And I guess that's Spider-Man coming to the PC. So it's actually should have had pretty big sales. I think that was, you know, one of the top selling Steam games for that time period.
Well, Spider-Man is number three and had this big last month, those 84. So yeah, big jump for Spider-Man. So again, we could see why Sony wants to get these games onto PC. And you know, there was kind of a leak that suggests that Sackboy's Big Adventure, Great Adventure. Sackboy's going on a fucking adventure.
Sackboy's adventure.
And it's going to be on PC. And, you know, that's a game that didn't do Miles Morales or Spider-Man numbers, but coming to PC still, it's going to be a boost.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I think Returnal's the other one that's probably going to do that pretty soon as well. So a lot happening with Sony in terms of going to PC.
Mm-hmm. Number four is Elden Ring. Our barometer is like, you have to sell better than Grand Theft Auto 5, blah, blah, blah. Grand Theft Auto 5 doesn't really chart like it used to anymore.
They stopped reporting the physical digital sales or something like that. So, yeah.
There you go.
It's no longer useful.
Let's say in 2022, if you're a new game, if you're a new AAA game, you probably want to try to sell better than Elden Ring, right?
Yep, Elden Ring, Mario Kart. Yeah, those are good barometers.
So speaking of Mario Kart, so five is Multiverses. So no Nintendo games in the top five, actually. You don't get a Nintendo game in August until number six with Mario Kart 8, which is like always in the top 10 somewhere. Last month, it was at number seven. So, you know, not really any big releases from Nintendo in August.
And we got the second month sales of Xenoblade Chronicles 3, though, right?
Yeah, Xenoblade went from fourth to 10th. So that's pretty good hold for a JRPG.
Pretty strong legs for a game like that.
Yeah, so that's good news there. Sure seems like, man, if only there was something they could have slotted into August.
Yeah.
Guess, I won't say what it could have been.
It could have been a lot of stuff, though, honestly.
Yeah. But to show you how good Xenoblade's doing, Soul Hackers 2, which is, you know, Shin Megami Tensei, that was at 15. So that's like almost what you would maybe expect, maybe a little low for new JRPG niche market, probably lower than what Shin Megami Tensei 5 debuted, and that was a Switch exclusive. This one is a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah. So that's that, Jeff. I don't know if there's anything else here that has caught your eye or anything else we're talking about.
It's still, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Nintendo games in the top 20. That's like actually pretty low for Nintendo, but still, I think, ahead of any other publisher by a fair amount. A lot of months, there'll be 7 to 10 Nintendo games in that top 20 just from legacy, catalog games just continuing to sell.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's going to be the beginning of a transition period, like the very, very beginning of a transition to whatever's next for Nintendo has begun. It's just a matter of whether or not Nintendo is going to begin acknowledging that publicly anytime soon, but everyone could sort of feel it, and you're going to show up for the big games, and when the big games come out, you're still going to buy them. But a lot of people are probably looking at their PS5 or getting a PS5 or getting a Steam Deck and kind of trying to like look at what's next elsewhere for a little while until Nintendo gives them a reason to get excited again.
Pokemon Legends Arceus is at number 20 here. So it seems like right as that's getting ready to maybe fall off the top 20, you're going to have the new Pokemon's coming out right on the heels of that.
Yeah,
so
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if that game got a little bit of a boost, too, alongside that.
Yeah. Also, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, 11th last month, 18th this month, still hanging in there in the top 20, which is, you know, that's not necessarily a game you assume is going to have, like, super long legs, yeah, like your Smash Brothers.
If it's like a 3D, if it's a 3D Nintendo platformer now, maybe it does have legs. Maybe it does have Odyssey-like legs a little bit, you know, relative to its size as a game overall. Like, it's not going to do total Mario Odyssey numbers, but for a Kirby game, it's going to probably be Odyssey-like.
Chat here is pointing out that Soul Hackers 2 is out on PlayStation, PC and Xbox. Thank you for that. I didn't think that was a PlayStation exclusive for some reason. Good for Xbox.
It's kind of rougher though, right? It's on...
The point is that it's not on Switch, and that's the problem. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably gonna. It definitely is a detriment to its sales.
Absolutely. Hey Jeff, Radiant Silver Gun, which was kind of like the big shadow drop of that direct last week, and then it was like immediately pulled for some reason. It is back on the eShop now. Everyone can go.
Yeah. Did they say why?
They did not say why. There's a lot of speculation, like, or people are seem pretty sure there's some kind of an audio thing. I didn't quite understand, Jeff, myself. Right. I'm just glad that this is out. I want to play Radiant Silver Gun. I have a big gap in my, like, kind of gamer knowledge base when it comes to shmups, and this is definitely one of the better regarded ones. It's Treasure. I think it came out on the Saturn originally. It's supposed to be very, very good. It's like, if you like Ikaruga, and Ikaruga is one of the few ones I had played and liked a lot, it seems like this should be up people's alley. So,
yeah,
I think I will and check this out. Although it's hard because there's so much Switch stuff to play right now. And one of those is an 80-hour long JRPG. And then another game I want to play is another JRPG in Trails from Zero that is like what the reviews for that dropped today. And it's been getting good reviews.
Yeah,
and
people seem really into it.
Yeah, I love Trails in the Sky, Jeff. Trails in the Sky was absolutely my jam. So
is Return to Monkey Island on Switch?
Yes. Return to Monkey Island is only on... That? That's the only console it's on. It's on PC and Switch.
Ron Gilbert must have had good luck with that one point-and-click put on Switch.
He said that Thimbleweed Park, when it went to Switch, I think it sold better there than any other platform. Wow, I played it on Switch, actually. It works really well there. It makes a lot of sense on that platform, yeah. So... Yeah, lots of stuff happening for Switch. Nintendo considers Nuzlocke runs to be on the same level as ROM hacks. What? This is according to the Kit and Krista podcast, which is a show from the two people used to host, like the Nintendo Treehouse or something. Nintendo Minute. That's it. Thank you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Nuzlocke is a special kind of challenge. To be clear, it's not a ROM hack. All it is a special way to play any Pokemon game with special rules. Mostly, it's that you can only attempt to catch one Pokemon in each area. It has to be the first Pokemon you come in contact with. And if a Pokemon dies, you have to either like dismiss them or put them in a box. You can't use that Pokemon again.
Yep.
It's a challenge run is all it is. Now, the Pokemon company has denied this in comments, not extensively, just saying we have no problem with Nuzlocke runs. Now, I certainly don't think that that Kid and Krista were lying about this. I think that at the time, the Pokemon company or Nintendo was absolutely just like, this sounds scary. This must be illegal.
Right.
How dare you suggest you highlight this on your show? You're lucky we don't fire you. So on and so forth, right? And now that it's like becoming a bad Twitter story, they like actually had to like Google what it is and be like, oh, no, that's fine.
Right. And the people inside the Pokemon company that are like, guys, Nuzlocke runs are fine. We need to not be weird about this. That were previously getting shut down are like, see, I told you, stop being so weird. It's fine. And like they're winning those arguments probably. And that's like where some of the confusion is coming from. I bet we still don't ever see like the Pokemon company ever say the word Nuzlocke or anything like that. That's just not going to happen other than in a statement referring to Nuzlocke themselves. So.
A shame. Like, imagine if Nintendo was just like cool with things like there's these awesome randomizers, right? Mm-hmm. Like Super Metroid randomizer, a Link to the Past randomizer. Imagine if Nintendo was just cool with that stuff.
They had their own ROM hacks on the Nintendo Switch online, so it's like kind of why not embrace that shit?
Imagine if one of those was just the Legend of Zelda Link to the Past randomizer. Like, I'm not gonna play like the thing where it's like play, you know, Metroid, but you're automatically start with the cheat code. Okay, whatever. But if it's like a randomizer, that would be pretty cool. At some point, there's got to be some kind of a reckoning with working with the community and some of these creations and stuff like that. Speaking of Trails to Zero, there's a little bit of that there because I know it's at least based off of the fan translation of that game. So I hope Nintendo could be a bit more comfortable with that stuff someday. But it's probably not this day.
Probably not.
Hey, Nintendo has introduced two new Twitter accounts, at Nintendo Lata M. So that's Latin America, I assume. I should probably check that.
Yep.
And then Nintendo Brazil. So these are
strangely, it's just Nintendo of New Jersey. It's weird. I don't know why they said Brazil. It's weird.
So there are now new, like, these official Nintendo hubs for the Spanish and Brazilian Portuguese languages. That's just nice, Jeff. I still always associate Brazil specifically with the Sega Master System. I know the Sega Master System was a big deal in Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil is big in the console gaming. They're the tariffs there are out of control, so like they're usually a little bit behind because things get so expensive there. So you kind of have to wait for things to come down in price elsewhere before importing makes sense. But I do believe that they are, like, yeah, they're getting Switch. I think things have cooled off on that stuff a little bit, so it's a little bit easier to get modern consoles like a Switch. So, yeah, that's neat. And, yeah, Latin America is huge for gaming. And of, like, the four fastest-growing nations, those BRIC countries, Brazil, India, Russia, and China, Brazil was the fastest one for gaming growth for many, many, many years. So getting there and kind of... you know, establishing a foothold of for your marketing team is probably a smart idea.
Good. Then, Jeff, one last thing here. This got announced during the Tokyo Game Show. Suikoden 1 and 2 HD Remaster got announced. It's coming out 2023 to a bunch of platforms, including Switch. Jeff, you're a JRPG boy. Suikoden 2 is like, that is the JRPG that's like, it's not obscure. It's like for the people who like only play Final Fantasy, the next thing that they usually get into, right? Like, if Final Fantasy is the gateway drug,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, you wanna get like a little deeper than that. It's either gonna be Xenogears or Suikoden 2. It seems like.
Yep, it's I definitely have heard people talk about it, and you're right. It is the people that are like identify themselves as I like JRPGs. It's like, oh, I didn't ask. Okay, all right,
yeah.
Cool. And then yes, Suikoden usually comes up next.
Yeah, it's required reading, I guess, right?
Like, sure, you can't, yes.
If you haven't played that, you can't really say I'm a big JRPG fan. You can say, oh, I like JRPGs, but
right.
You know, it's like saying you like American literature and you haven't read Hemingway.
Yeah, it's a fan gate check. Like, oh, have you actually played that? Then well, are you really? Yeah, that sort of thing.
They look pretty good, you know? It's not like quite HD 2D, but it has some elements of that. There's not a whole lot you have to do to these games to make them good still. They are still good. I played, like, they have like those original PlayStation 1 versions you can download on PlayStation Portable or Vita, and that's how I played one and two. And one is still kind of like worth checking out. It's shorter, it's smaller in scale, but two is a direct sequel to it in some ways, and you get to unlock some characters in two if you beat one. So bundling them together makes a good amount of sense.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited for fans of the series. I don't know. I feel like there's that. Spiritual successor that's coming to Suikoden or coming from the one of the developers.
Eodine Chronicle.
Something like that. No.
A different game.
But this is the one that just got a Kickstarter along with a sequel to Heart of Darkness or something like that for the PlayStation. Either way, I'm like, you know, I'll see what that's like and maybe I'll get into the modern version of this. And if I fall in love with that, maybe then I'll go back to Suikoden.
Right. I mean, it makes a lot more sense for Konami to just do these remakes/remasters to try to make a new one when they don't have the guy because the guy's doing his own thing.
Shadow Hearts. Thank you, Jay Arthur. Shadow Hearts, yes.
Shadow Hearts is not the name of the Kickstarter thing. Shadow Hearts is a very different PlayStation 2 JRPG that people like.
No, there's a two-part Kickstarter there that it has the spiritual successor to Shadow Hearts and the spiritual successor to Suikoden.
Really? Oh, yes. I missed that part. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
I do need to play Shadow Hearts, actually. That's one that is on my to-do list. I had Eden Chronicles. I was right. What's I get Eden Chronicles mixed up with Diofield, or apparently Diofield or whatever.
Deofield Chronicles.
That's
yes.
Not how that should be pronounced. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
We're making up too many bullshit things that I can't keep up with it. What was that ridiculous Square Enix thing? Like mundane. Oh,
various day life. Yes.
Various day life. Jesus Christ. Gosh. Or was it... Man, it's Shadow Hearts and Wild Arms.
Shadow
okay,
Arms
you were
Wild
talking
Arms.
About
yes,
something completely. That's why I'm confused. I'm talking about something different.
Yeah, my bad. Yes, I was getting this confused. So then, Iodine Chronicles is the one that is a successor to Suikoden.
Yeah, and it was a separate Kickstarter from some time ago. It's the one that had that spin-off game that came out on Game Pass recently.
Yes,
that was an action thing that I did not like.
Okay, I didn't know if you played that.
Yeah, Yeah, to be clear to people who have not played Suikoden 1 or 2, I wasn't being very serious by saying that you are not a real JRPG fan if you haven't played those games. It's fine. I'm just, yeah, you know.
It's okay.
It's okay. But you can get mad at me anyways. There's been a lot of that going around. That's it for the news, Jeff. Hey, everyone watching at home, if you are watching, please give us a thumbs up. We appreciate it. Don't forget, you can send in super chats. We will read those by the end of the show. Soon we are going to read questions from our Discord community. We also have a topic to cover this week. I asked everybody, who is your favorite Nintendo Royal? That'll be a good time. It's interesting because there's obvious ones, and then there's ones that I'm sure are going to be pretty obscure and surprising and fun answers. So, no, this is not an Ahiago shirt. Ahiago? This is a Final Fantasy 14 shirt. What's that? Ahiago to the polls. What is
that? Ahigao to the polls. Yep.
Ahigao.
And that shirt's close enough, though, to one of those. So
it's anime, so it's Ahigao adjacent. Yeah, something right. Like that. Yeah. All right, Jeff, let's get to these questions from Discord. This first one's about Luigi's penis.
All right, well, let's talk about it. It's about time.
Benji Glasskey says, hey, swamp asses, man. Good start. Remember when people were writing articles about Luigi's dong because of Mario Tennis? Man, they just that's the question. Yeah, there's just like links to a lot of articles, like from Kotaku from 2018, Bowser's only 4 feet tall, judging by Luigi's penis. From The Wrap in 2018, a Nintendo fan has calculated the size of Super Mario Brothers Luigi's penis. From Metro, there's a bunch of shit about Luigi's bulge because from that. Yeah,
no, I remember this was an important day on the internet.
Yeah, there's no follow-up to that. I guess he just wanted to know if we remembered. I mean, look, we think about Luigi's bulge every day, obviously.
Yep. I'm thinking about it all the time. Thinking about it right now.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Suss says, you had to take a shower in the Cleveland YMCA after a basketball game. Which Nintendo human character would you least want to share the shower with? Gosh. I feel like Ganondorf just has a gigantic penis.
Yeah, Ganondorf's scary.
And
yeah.
I just don't want to feel inadequate. And also,
he would like stare at you the whole time.
Yeah, he'd be like over there. He'd probably like really try to flaunt it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He has big dick energy, if that ever is a thing, right?
And yet he's still somehow insecure about it in a weird way. So it's like,
Isn't like the whole thing is like there's only one male like born of the Gerudo every like 100 years or something.
Yeah, something so, like that. So he probably,
They have to equip him, I assume, right? Got to make the whole next generation.
Got to be able to take a beating. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's your answer.
Listen, chat, you can pretend to not know what we're talking about. You know what we're talking about, though.
You all know. Casual says, dear Jeff, Honey Chris Grubb, and Mike Honeypop Minotti. What is your favorite piece of media from 1997, and why is it the cinematic masterpiece Jungle to Jungle? P.S. Mike, sooner or later, you're going to run out of material for 90s Disney, and then you have to dedicate an episode to it. Hey, I liked Jungle to Jungle. Probably incredibly racist now as a kid who just liked Tim Allen because he was like in that show I watched. I thought it was fun. I won't run out of anything. There's plenty of 90s Disney stuff to talk about still. I was disappointed that you guys didn't do the Honey Pop character ranking thing, Jeff. I would have been all about it, but a couple of the Unprofessional Friday crew seemed disgusted by the idea of it.
And maybe rightfully so, but
I guess I would have exposed too much of myself. I would have had very thoughtful and elaborate opinions about those characters.
I'm trying to think of a 1997 thing I like.
There was a question. What's your favorite piece of media from that thing? Well, I mean, Final Fantasy. The first thing I think of is Final Fantasy VII, actually.
Con Air.
Con Air's good. 98's when, like, a lot of the seminal video games came out, like Half-Life, Ocarina of Time, Metal Gear Solid, Pokemon Red and Blue in the U.S. 97, I can kind of just think of Metal Gear Solid. I'm sure there were other things.
Mm-hmm.
I have a harder time with movies. I'm not even sure what the Disney animated movie in 97 was. Actually, it might have... No, Hunchback was 96, I think. I don't know what 97 would have been. I might have even missed that year. Beef Hammer says, happy Thursday, Jeff, Thelma Grubb, and Mike Luis Minotti. I know we are all in agreement that Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are now officially fake games, but I want to publicly threaten Nintendo about Metroid Prime. Prime Hack is all set up on my Steam Deck. In November, comes without the remaster, then fine, I'll do it myself. I know emulation doesn't hurt Nintendo, but sometimes I really wish it
did. Fine, I do it myself.
Jeff, if anything else, is it possible that maybe we have showed Nintendo the hunger that exists for these things.
Maybe.
Hercules 97. That's right. That's right, Tate.
Maybe No, it's fine. Maybe they understand now that everyone was expecting it. So, and you know, so yeah, I think there's a chance.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, we're going to go from apologizing to actually you should thank
us. Yeah, you should have been thanking us. What the hell? Yeah,
ungrateful little brats. It's because of us. That was the long plan.
Yep.
Yeah. New story tomorrow. Okay, Mike Minotti thinks that he should be criminal. Screaming Madden says, hey there, Mike, number one Vampire Sucks fan, Minotti, and Jeff, kicking it old school fan, number one kicking it old school
Listen,
fan.
Listen, I only giggled 7 times.
Man, that was a movie.
That was an unfortunate movie.
I can't believe how offensive it was.
It's really offensive.
It's incredibly offensive. Oh, that's right. George of the Jungle was also in 1997. Yeah, Disney was making a lot of jungle-based movies in 97. And then, like, Tarzan was just a year or two later. They're all about the jungle.
Yeah, they're just like, what if white people were savages? It's like, oh, God, Disney, Jesus Christ.
No, thank you. What if during the next direct we get a casting reveal for an Animal Crossing movie? I'll put up some hypothetical casting choices, and you guys try to react to these as if it was the Mario casting reveal. Tom Nook, voiced by Christopher Walken. That's good. Isabelle, voiced by Charlize Theron. I feel like Isabelle, that's not right for Isabelle. Charlize Theron, I don't know. It needs to be like a Leslie Knope type would be better. God, what's the actual human who played Leslie Knope?
Oh.
Also Joy from Inside Out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking
SNL,
about.
SNL, yeah.
Yeah.
Leslie Knope.
All I can think is Meg Ryan 2 is all I can think. That's not right at all.
Blathers, voiced by Chris Rock. Mabel and Sable, voiced by Brie Larson. Both by Brie Larson. Brie Larson of Fortnite fame.
Yes, right.
Mr. Rossetti, voiced by Dave Bautista. Yes, that's good. That's the best you've got here. Red, voiced by Rob Ordenkirk. That's good. And KK Slider, voiced by Tyrese Gibson. I like the Dave Bautista casting the most. Amy Poehler, thank you, everybody. Yep. Who even knows anymore says, what's up, you messy, messy boys? What's more likely to come to the Switch, Thousand Year Door or Nintendogs? If the latter, I suggest Jeff and Mike's Real Deal podcast for a new title. I don't know, Jeff. It's like, why not with Thousand Year Door, except that we know how weird Shiggy is about like the way that they did those games back
then.
Yeah,
but the damage is done, right? Just let us have it.
Well, maybe the damage could stay on the filthy GameCube where it belongs. there's been a lot more chatter about, hey, they're probably going to make a new Nintendogs at some point, right? It's weird that we got a new, like, we got Switch Sports Ed before we got a Nintendogs, right?
Yeah, it feels like, you know, those are the equivalent for the two different systems at the time, and the Nintendogs would have been almost, like, easier to recapture the magic, but I don't know.
Yeah, so, no idea. I kind of hope not, though, because we're supposed to be the last of the Nintendogs, so.
Right.
Jim Ryan did 908. Oh my God. What's that we said about line stepping, Jeff? It's getting close. With the recent announcement that Babylon's fail is shutting down in February, I'm curious as to how these things work when they, well, don't work. How does this impact Platinum and Square Enix as a dev and publisher, respectively financially or otherwise, in a potential dev for hire deals in the future? Does a poor performing project hurt Platinum's negotiation position for said deals or hurt demand for their services? With the game failing so hard on every level, it seems like publishers will have to take the fall for it. The director also did Metal Gear Rising and Transformers Devastation. That's so sad that that was that guy. So clearly knows how to make good games when working with good publishers. I hope he doesn't become the scapegoat. Oh, man, that is. I didn't even realize that, like, this, because I just finished Metal Gear Rising for our Game S Game Club. It's such a good game.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. So, Jeff, what is the fallout going to look like for what happened with Babylon's Fall?
I don't know. It can, like, go a couple of ways. It might be, you know, really detrimental because maybe no one else is going to want to work with them. But they got Bayonetta 3 coming out soon. And if that does well, you know, that's what people will remember. And it's like when other companies are like, hey, we need to work. We have work we need done. Can we get Platinum in on it, or do we want Platinum in on it? It's like, what have they done recently? Most people are actually probably going to forget the game that's already come and gone, and they're like, well, listen, look at this Bayonetta 3. That did really well. So if Bayonetta 3 comes out and is good enough to erase the sins, then maybe they have a chance of being just fine. Also, you know, they want to publish more of their own games. Maybe this still won't matter too much in the long term for that sort of thing. Also, Jim Ryan did 0908. Isn't that a reference to the joke of us saying that he did that to... He killed the queen for some reason? Didn't we say that?
They're saying it's our fault.
Well, yeah, basically. I think like most of the things happening here, yes.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, remember Fuse? Remember when Insomniac made that game Fuse?
No, not really.
Xbox
I mean,
360?
I do, but
right.
Not really, yeah.
Giant disaster, right?
And yeah, then, I remember like, the good stuff.
Yeah, and then not too long after that, you know, they had Sunset Overdrive like the next year, which helped, and then they made Spider-Man a few years after that, right? Like, bad times come, but bad times don't have to last, baby. Hot times for Platinum Games.
Bad guys do.
Yeah, well, a different wrestler, but we'll go with it. Breadfish says, sup, dogs. Do you think Player's Choice / Nintendo Select is done for good?
Yes.
Do you think we'll eventually see something comparable to this gen? Thanks, ye. I mean, we did have something like that, didn't they? I remember now. It was like a weird border. So we had one.
Yeah, but those games didn't sell like Switch games do. I mean...
They certainly did it.
So, I mean, no. I think we would have got it. It's been how many years? 5 going on 6 years or whatever? Like, it's been a long time. If Super Mario Odyssey was ever going to go on sale for, what? Like, what would they do? $30 version of it? I mean, it would have happened by now.
You think there's any chance Breath of the Wild is like $40 at least once Tears of the Kingdom comes out? Or
I mean, I'm sure
that.
It goes on. Well, yeah, you're right. There's a direct sequel. I mean, no, not really. It doesn't seem like. Why would they do it unless they have to?
Maybe if it like really plummets in
maybe
sales.
50,
maybe it won't.
Maybe $50.
There you go. Jumpman says, are there any Switch games that play significantly better when emulated on the Steam Deck? I mean,
I don't know.
Talking about trouble showing how much better Metroid Dread ran on emulation that one time.
I haven't done it myself, so I don't know for sure, but I would assume many games run better.
Velocity Prime says, hello, dogs. Because we all love conflict here and inspired by the recent addition of Earthworm Jim to NSO, I decided to revive a bit of the 90s console war era with a quick little quiz. Which version of the following games with the same name was better, the SNES or Genesis version, leaving out obvious titles like Aladdin, Mortal Kombat? Here we go. Okay, this is fun. Starting out with Mega Turrican. Jeff, I never played these Turrican games. They're running guns like Contra. My Turrican knowledge base is very limited.
I played Mega Turrican with the like restored full like 32 megabyte version of or whatever it was that they put out with alongside the Super NT. When Analog put out that system, they like went to Factor 5 and got that game and rescued it. And I played that and it was pretty good. So I'm going to go with Super Nintendo.
Fair. I think that's what people actually think. Cool Spot, I like the Genesis version. I remember. I liked Cool Spot a lot, actually. Go ahead.
I was going to say I didn't enjoy the Super Nintendo version, so I'll just say Sega Genesis.
There we go. Well, this game has that Earthworm Jim, Aladdin, Genesis probably... stank that you hate.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I just think it's boring.
So you're saying that maybe you like boring things.
Well, I do dislike it. I do dislike it.
It sounds like you hate it because it's boring,
I
Jeff.
I dislike it, yes.
What kind of fart-sniffing comment is that? I don't hate it. I just think
it's boring.
Like,
I don't have hate in my heart. I'm not going to go commit a crime if I see it walking down the street. I'm not going to like hold a sign and a torch and try to run it out of town. I'm just going to be like, oh, man, I don't really like this. This is kind of boring.
You're above it. You're too above it to even be, to even have feelings about Cool Spot. It just bores you.
That sounds right.
Shadowrun. I also never played these Shadowrun games. I think, doesn't the one have mouse support or like troll. It should have mouse support?
I've never played a Shadowrun, probably, though. They're like complicated games, right?
Yes, they are. Here's one I have a strong opinion about, Sparkster. So there's Rocket Knight on the Genesis, and then there's a Sparkster game for both Genesis and for Super Nintendo. They're two very different games. I actually like the Super Nintendo one better in this instance. It's kind of easier, but in a way that's sort of fun, whereas the Sparkster on Genesis was just, I don't know, it's kind of forgettable, a little cumbersome. You got your pinky out, Jeff?
Because everyone in chat's making fun of me. It's just pedestrian. I just find it droll.
Was there 7-Up in that?
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2. Well, you got to play the 3DO version of Street Fighter 2, Jeff.
That's right,
that was
exactly.
The best.
I've always said that. Super Nintendo, easily.
Well, you had... Well... It depends, because you had the Championship Edition on Genesis, and you had a six-button controller. That was pretty good.
Well, okay, six-button controller is pretty good, but...
The Super Nintendo automatically has six inputs. Now, granted, they're not all face buttons, but
yeah,
still.
It's nice to have face buttons, but still, Super Nintendo. If we're talking about Super Street... Just Street Fighter 2, probably Super Nintendo.
Right, Street Fighter 2.
But if it's like, if we take into account the other ones, there's like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which was great on Super Nintendo. So
there are, yeah, there's a bunch of different. I can't believe like one of the Street Fighter Alphas was on Super Nintendo. Yeah, that's wild to me. That's wild to me. So there you go. What Up versus CPU says 4 years of Bowsette. Wow, time flies. Do you have any words on the special occasion? A toast, perhaps. Now, I think we could all agree that got a little out of hand.
Yeah, listen, we did some wild things. we all said a lot of things that we don't necessarily wish we could take back, but we don't hope the internet never finds. And I think that it's just good to move on.
Do you think Nintendo actually never brings that Bowsette idea back, because there was just so much porn of it?
Yeah,
like,
right.
What do you think
like
happens if you Google Bowsette right now?
I mean, I'll do it. Sure, I'll Google Bowsette. All right. Let's see.
Tell me how long it takes for you to find porn, or at least like a sexy picture.
I mean, it's gonna be 1 second. I mean, basically, it's like the first.
All right, I'm doing it too. Fuck it.
It's 18.5 million results in 0.47 seconds. If I do an image search, it's like, yeah, I mean, it is just sexy, basically.
Yeah, it's just sexy. They're hiding. There's a lot of cosplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first result is the comic that like started it all.
That started it, right? Yeah, that whole thing. It does get weird. I only find it sexy when I don't think about the fact that it is literally like supposed to be Bowser's soul.
That makes it way hotter.
Nah, that makes it way weirder.
Well, I mean, the weirdness is the hotness. I don't understand what you're saying.
Hosp says, "Hey yo, dogs. Funny that you should bring up Nuzlocke on GameS mornings. It's what I've been contemplating for a couple of weeks. Which version of the game are you both thinking of playing? My analog pocket has Pokemon Gold locked and loaded." So I actually recently found my Pokemon Fire Red cartridge on Game Boy Advance, and I have a GameCube with a Game Boy player.
Oh, cool.
So I could play this original hardware and stream it from my GameCube. So that could be it. I think that might be a fun way to try this Nuzlocke thing. I think you're talking about doing it on Giant Bomb, right, Jeff?
Yeah, we have an idea brewing right now, and it would probably involve one of the, like, Leaf Green, I think, or something like that. One of those.
Okay, well, that's like the same thing I'm doing. That's the same. Those are the remakes of the original. So that's cool.
Everyone says the remakes of the originals for Game Boy Advance are a good way to do Nuzlocke. So
how about that?
Yeah, we probably will be doing that. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense because they're like modernized enough in ways, probably modernized as much as those games ever needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a challenge thing. So some of the later ones, like you wouldn't want to do it with Sun and Moon because there's like a 5-hour long tutorial in the beginning. It would be obnoxious. Bench JC says, "Hello, Mike. Monkey Allen is back, Minotti, and Jeff Rockley Grub. Happy Tuesday. Nintendo has had a good year of releases, and I want to know what you think is the best Nintendo game out this year." I liked Kirby and the Forgotten Land a lot, Jeff.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying Xenoblade Chronicles 3. And I think Nintendo published Live Alive, so if that counted, that would be really high up there for me. I liked Live Alive a lot.
Yeah, I'm like trying to think what came out this year, 2022. I might go with Strikers for myself personally. I really like Strikers, and people can't take that away from me, and I won't
let
them.
That's right. Me too, Jeff. I'm with you on that one.
My cold dead hands. Yeah. A Nintendo game, though.
Kirby.
I do like Kirby, and I still haven't finished it, but I've been enjoying it as I've been going back to it. Splatoon 3. Splatoon 3 is probably
Splatoon
3's actually the
also
best one.
Been very good.
Yes,
I haven't touched the single player yet because I've been playing Xenoblade when I have single player time. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's already been fantastic. So it's kind of like a surprise, actually very good year for the Switch without like the really big headliners aside from Pokemon,
mm-hmm.
which you know had a Pokemon to start. We had Arceus. I also liked Arceus a lot. Feels like it was forever ago because January does feel like forever ago. But
yes, for real.
That was this year also. The Uncharted Wolf, who says, I don't have to say the five after his name anymore, so just the Uncharted Wolf, says, "Hey, Venom, Grub, and Punished Minotti, seeing as we're in the final stretch of game reveals for this year, what is a game reveal this year that you wish more people talked about or you completely forgot it was revealed this year? For example, I thought Kingdom Hearts 4 was a collective fever dream we all had at once, but no, it's... real, man. That did actually happen.
Real. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's because I'm still like, that was just in the leak, right? Oh no, there was like a trailer There was a trailer for that. That actually did happen. Gosh, Jeff, what else would there be? It's, because Kingdom Hearts is such a good example for this. The problem is if more people aren't talking about it, it means if people forgot about it, I probably forgot about it, right?
I'm the kind of people that forgets about that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm like, I wouldn't be able to think of something off the top of my head that people are not talking about. It does, I mean, for me, the one I keep forgetting about overall is like, oh, Dead Space is real and is coming, even though I'm like right. the one that like broke that originally. I'm like, right. oh, they've announced that. That's coming. It's coming relatively soon. Even Calypso Protocol. It's like, oh, that's coming out in December. Weird.
That's weird. That's this year.
Yeah.
Like that one I can't forget about because they keep bringing that on every Keighley show.
Sure.
So
yes.
Like, I remember that exists. That's for sure. So, yeah. Next here from Fluffy Cloud Gamer. Sorry for the non-Nintendo question. Wow. But what happens if the individual who leaked Grand Theft Auto 6 content actually leaks the full source code he claims he has? Would Rockstar need to delay the project at that point? And throw in something Nintendo related, what was the biggest leak Nintendo's ever had? Thanks for all you guys do. I mean, there was that big leak a little bit ago, Jeff, but it was mostly for a lot of their older stuff and whatnot. It didn't seem to have a negative impact on Nintendo itself, really, right? There was that time that completely irresponsible game reviewer accidentally leaked how many cat shines were in Bowser's Fury, and they never recovered
game.
From that.
Yeah, yes, Nintendo's huge thing. Downward spiral ever since. Yeah, I hope that person got punished appropriately.
Don't worry, he did. But yeah, so I think that leak from like last year, probably a big one. So yeah, Jeff, what would happen if Grand Theft Auto 6 source code actually got it out there?
Yeah, they'd have
to. Because right now it seems like there's not too big of an impact on development. At least that's what Rockstar has said.
I mean, it'd be pretty bad. You could completely destroy that game the second it comes out in terms of any online mode. It would be completely open for exploits of all sorts. It would destroy the in-game economy. It would maybe ruin their potential to make money from it. So you would probably want to redo a significant chunk of it, I would think. You can ask an expert, but that would be my guess, because if you want to avoid the problems, the pitfalls of having your source code exposed, what's the only real sure way to deal with that? It's to adjust the source code so it's not actually the same thing anymore. Yeah, it could be a serious, serious problem.
I mean, that's what happened with Half-Life 2, right? Its source code got released, and that's what delayed that game. Like at one, I mean, it had other delays also, I think, but that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Lossian says, hello, gentlemen. Hope you both are doing well. Mike, in a position of power, yelling at Nick Turbo Minotti. And Jeff, Jordan Peterson is not extreme enough for me, grub. Finally got my Steam Deck. Yay. What are some guides you recommend for setup, i.e. emulation? And totally random question, what two cereals do you like to combine and eat at the same time? Like, I just a bowl of Captain Crunch with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and it was delicious. P.S. I don't know who the fuck Jordan Peterson is. Yeah, you should keep it that way.
Yeah, you're better off. I envy you.
Man, am I boring? Am I a boring vanilla basic bitch? I have never combined cereals.
I think you're just in your 30s.
No, but I've never done it when I was a kid either. I never did that.
No, but I mean, like, when you were a kid, like, I think that like, these kids are living a life where, like, the excitement of, like, getting a cereal was real for us. And I think that's no longer actually true.
Oh, so they have to make it exciting themselves. It's like challenges. They can't just do it the way it's given to them anymore.
Right. They have to ruin the purity because they just need that raw shit.
I can imagine a way to make Cookie Crisp better, right? Like, adding Cheerios to Cookie Crisp wasn't going to improve Cookie Crisp. Cookie Crisp was perfect.
I cut up slices of banana and often eat my cereal that way.
Oh, I definitely don't do that. That's just an old man thing to do.
It helps with my bowel movements.
you absolutely would. What about guides for setting up his Steam Deck, Jeff?
Honestly, Retro Game Core on YouTube has been very good about all kinds of guides along those lines. But the truth is, you don't need much of a guide. Just Google search MU Deck. And download that thing using your Steam Deck. Just go to the desktop mode, download it to your Steam Deck, click the button, and it mostly does everything for you. You'll just need to go find the BIOS files, and I promise you, if you Google search or if you ever know the ROM site that we talk about all the time on this thing, you'll be able to find it just fine.
Mr. Boris says, hey, Jeff, it's still summer, damn it, grub. And Mike, disgusted by Jeff's I don't even know how to say this word, orchard? Picks Minotti.
Yep, orchard.
Like angry orchard, like that. Yes. Okay, like the alcohol. Gotcha.
Yes, like an apple orchard. Yes, yes. God damn it, Mike! Don't make me mad at you about the like your fruit feelings.
No, I'm not asking for you to be mad. All right.
Well, it feels like you kind of are, honestly, the way you just did that.
Mr. Bowler says, I've asked about your favorite NES original soundtracks, so now I want to know, what are the greatest SNES OSTs ever? These are like, I don't know if any of these are like hot picks, Jeff, but Donkey Kong Country 1 and 2,
hot,
Final Fantasy 6, Chrono Trigger definitely come to mind. And then like Super Metroid, I don't necessarily want to listen to it a lot, but in terms of being really effective for that game is very, very good. So, like, you know, Mega Man X 1, again, very obvious, but very, very true. And then, like, Castlevania 4, also just very good. Like, again, these are all really obvious ones. I almost wish I had, like, some kind of,
Street Fighter 2, I mean, that's an arcade game, but on the Super Nintendo, yeah. That soundtrack still slams.
Oh, Top Gear, the racing game. That's, like, one where I think a lot of people know. I mean, heck, it was in one of who are the people who do the concerts? It was Tommy Tallarico's thing. Video Games Live.
There's
a Top Gear track in a Video Games Live album. So I guess it's not that obscure, but still, that one is very good. Next one is from Dugan. Hey, Pound Puppies, is there any more post OLED analysts as far as why Nintendo made that move? Will we have to wait until the true successor comes out to understand just how iterative a step this model is? I guess I'm just trying to understand how bad I got played trading in my launch Switch for it. Thanks as always. I mean, Jeff, there was a lot of speculation at the time that they wanted to maybe do a Pro and then kind of like backtracked and just sort of did an OLED instead.
Right. It seemed like maybe the logistics of actually putting out a new model with new internals would have been a headache for them. I mean, that's a guess, I think, on many people's part. They did the OLED model because you would trade in your original model for it. They did it because you would buy it. They did it because I bought it. They know exactly what they're doing. They charge $50 more. They effectively raised the price of the Switch. All of those reasons are the reason to do it, and it's why they did it, and it worked.
Gratilda's ass says, sup dogs, I don't have NSO expansion pack, so how does online multiplayer work? For GoldenEye, are you only able to create a 4-person custom lobby and then you essentially play split-screen multiplayer? Or can you match with random people? Jeff,
no,
I have never touched NSO online. No matchmaking.
It will not
it's
have matchmaking.
It's pretty bare bones.
Yes, it's just you're going to start a Nintendo Switch Online N64 session and you're going to tell your friends that it's happening. They'll get online. They'll see it's happening. They'll join your room. And then you could jump from game to game, including GoldenEye, a ROM of GoldenEye. That'll just play as if you were playing on an emulator locally.
G-Man Sir says, hello, Jeff. Get in the hot tub grub. And Mike, oops, I missed the toilet when I peed. Miss naughty. I do miss sometimes. I think, nah, maybe this is too personal. I miss sometimes, though. And I think there's a problem.
What is the personal thing that you are afraid of? You said there is a problem.
Well, I don't know how much I should talk about, like...
Is there like a growth?
No, like I think the hole's too wide. I think other people's holes are like more narrow. So I think the spray is a bit more predictable is the issue.
The chaos theory, right, exactly.
Yeah, so like, because other people don't seem to miss as much as I do. And I'm like, yeah, don't you hate it when like the pee just goes like, oh, and they're like, no, what are you talking about? So,
man,
yeah.
Industry leaker at it again.
Yeah. Pod, why do I support these guys? We got you.
You're only encouraging us.
Look. His question. What would be the last Mario game you would want to replay before you get taken out execution style like the GTA 6 leaker?
I wouldn't mind if someone would kill me right now, that's for sure.
Probably Super Metroid. I'd like to get one more run of Super Metroid. Maybe I should pick Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because it feels like it's 500 hours long and I can extend my life.
So it's your last game before death. Is that what the question is?
Yeah. Like your last meal.
Yeah, probably Metroid Prime.
Yes, yeah, or something Metroid-y. Hired Sword says, "Oh no! Wait, yes." Hired Sword says, "Hey there, Mike, Time Sweeper, Minotti, and Jeff. The L is for Luigi Grub." With the recent GTA 6 leak, Rockstar mentioned that there wouldn't be any eternal delays with their ongoing projects, even though many people mention it as a possibility. You think they will add any crunch hours to keep things on schedule, or has it really had no major impacts for them? I mean, who can say, Jeff? I don't know if I'm able to speculate here myself.
Yeah, I mean, It's the kind, yeah, like the crunch hour concern is like, it's hard to say because today one thing could be true, and in a month, a year, another thing could be true. So, like, they could probably manage their way around anything that might come out of this and avoid crunch if that's what they really care about. But there's always the potential that a new headache could arise and a new fire that they have to put out.
So I got into a lot of trouble for crunch previously.
Right. So and they've made a lot of strides about improving it. And they probably don't want to give back those gains.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, at any big publisher working on any big game, really anybody working on any game, there's always a threat of crunch.
Yeah, I mean, people working on anything creative, yeah.
Yeah. Major Faison says, hi, dogs, just had some bomb-ass Italian food. Okay, thanks, love you. Bye. Ooh, I like Italian food. I have a box of pasta and, like, jars of pesto that I'm thinking I was going to make forever, and I think tonight's the night, Jeff.
Hell yeah.
Probably while you're talking about Naruto with Christian.
No, I'm doing that on Thursday. I'm too tired.
Oh, there
you
go.
Shout-outs to being tired. Woo.
Hey, woo. That is it for the questions. Jeff, I don't actually have... Speaking of my hole, I don't think I have to pee right now. We could keep going unless we have to do an ad break.
You know what? Let's do an ad break.
All right, then. I'll try to go anyways. And we are back. And good thing, Jeff, I didn't miss. Woo! Yeah.
Shout-out to Narrow Holes.
Yeah, we did it. All right, Jeff. Hey, we got a super chat. Why don't you read that before
yeah,
we get
yeah.
to
yeah,
shout
this out to Daniel
thing.
Bradley, who said, I have come once again to demand the Pixel remasters. Why don't I have them on my Switch? Yeah.
Okay, can you say that first part again, Jeff?
I have come once again to demand the Pixel remasters.
Right. I just wanted you to say I'm have come.
I'm have come.
Drunk. Christian will like that. Yeah. Yeah, gosh, I haven't even thought about this in a while, Jeff.
It's weird it wasn't there. How is it still not on the Switch?
How is it not on any consoles? Because, again, it's not like they have a deal with PCs, right?
Like, we made it. No, Square Enix is the kind of company that, like, we accidentally made a deal with personal computers. We don't know how, but our lawyers tell us it's binding in blood.
What would the whole point of this have been? Like, if you told me they're remaking the first six Final Fantasies, I'd be like, oh, so they could put them on Switch.
Right. That's the whole idea. It has to be. I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. Has it been a full year yet?
It's almost. I think they started coming out, like, towards the end or maybe end of last year, maybe the beginning of the year. I think towards the end of last year, it's almost been a full year.
Yeah, I think it's almost been a full year.
I don't know. It's really bizarre. And again, it sounds like they all have problems anyways, and they're kind of weird.
Hired Sword says, I'm surprised it's not only playable via NFT tech. They're probably just trying to put NFTs in them before they really put it on Switch.
God. All right, Jeff, let's talk about Nintendo Royals. Who is your favorite? King or queen or prince or princess or duke or emperor? I don't know. Who's your favorite royal member of royalty? Royale. In a Nintendo game.
So, I can't remember if he's officially a king or not. He does have a crown, though, so I'm going to say probably. I'm going to go with Wart from Super Mario Bros. 2. He's got a lot going on. He's not even really real. He's just a dream, so he's a dream king. I like his whole vibe. He's also pretty easy to kill, which is nice. And I like the...
fun fight though.
It's a fun fight. Right, exactly. Easy but fun. It's like a breezy good time. And it's like a really colorful, different way to end a Mario game, especially for that time. So it was like, oh man, they got like ideas happening here. So I really like give me more Wart.
Yeah. Oh man, there's already some good answers in chat that I haven't thought about. I wonder if anyone else will like one of our CPU says King Hippo.
That's really good.
Yeah, like spoilers for Mario RPG, but Mallow. Ooh,
yeah,
that's
right.
One.
Shit.
Yeah. You know what the fucked up thing is, Jeff?
What?
All the jokes about Daisy and how I was like, I don't even like Daisy that much. I like Rosalina. Like, fiction always becomes reality. I officially like Daisy more than Rosalina now.
Wow, I can't believe we found it. We've come home, everybody.
You guys have rewired my brain. Like, I see, like, now when I see Daisy, I'm like, yes, that's the one I like.
You can control yourself. You have agency over how you feel. And then sometimes you just don't. And it's just the universe is guiding you towards your real truth.
Free will is an illusion. Yeah. You know what it really was? It's the Mario Strikers Battle League. presentation of Daisy as a person with actual personality.
Yeah.
Whereas like Peach and like Rosalina are just like they're like you talking about Cool Spot. They seem above it all.
Yeah,
and I just don't like it.
Exactly. You want like Daisy to kind of treat you like dirt. I get it. Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe. All right, let's get to the questions here. Velocity Prime says, meme answer is Daisy, but real answer is actually probably Rosalina. That's the old me, Jeff. That's the old me.
Past you has like come to Discord.
Yeah. I know Miyamoto hates story, but the narrative for her in the first Galaxy game is quite charming. The observatory hub world she lives in also has incredible music. That's pretty funny that like a lot of that, like the fact that Galaxy 1 had like as much story as it did, which is not very much,
right?
Like, had to be done kind of behind Miyamoto's back. Oh yeah, back
all those stories are like, we snuck story into this game. He didn't know that we were doing this. It's like, oh man, that's kind of cool actually.
Yeah. Bopping into Rockstar Slack says, King K rule hands down. He's got a hilarious name. Shout out his aliases, including Baron K. Ruhlenstein. He's one of the few royalty who actually wears and uses his crown in battle. He owned a pirate ship, airship, a helicopter pack, a hovercraft, and a blimp. Not to mention, he's one of the better Smash characters in Ultimate. I rest my case. I wasn't a big King K. Rool fan until he was put in Smash Brothers Ultimate. His like representation in that game rules. He just he looks very big, but yet very animated. He just looks better there than he actually has in any of the Donkey Kong games. The same thing with even like, I love King DDD. I don't like his current redesign. His face looks weird to me. Like his features are really small, and they now are putting that version of him into that Return to Dreamland remastered. I'm like, this looks weird to me. I still don't like the way he looks in Forgotten Land and some of the other recent games. Again, he looks perfect in Smash Bros. A lot of characters actually look best in Smash Bros. Even sure. Mega Man
yeah,
looks
even better Mario in Smash Bros. A little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, when Mario was in Melee, it was the first time they like detailed his denim.
Yeah,
my mind was blown.
I remember when like that happened, and then the Wii version of Galaxy got announced, and I was at the video game store I would go to a lot, and there was a guy and a girl that worked there, and the guy was like, I was just hoping it was gonna be a little bit more like Melee, and it was gonna be sort of realistic, and you could see the details on the denim. And the girl that was working there was getting like really emotional about it. Like, how do you know it's not going to be that way? And she was crying about how much
God,
he was getting upset about hilarious. Mario. And I'm just like, I got to get the hell out of here. But yeah.
I have to get the hell. I actually did have similar thoughts, I think, about Mario Sunshine even. Like, I think I looked at his pants. I'm like, they're not as detailed as they are in Smash Bros.
I think I also had similar thoughts. It's just like, I wasn't getting too worked up about it. My Galaxy looks fucking hot. Hot yeah. as hell.
Yeah, to be clear, when I saw Mario Galaxy, I was mostly just very happy and excited. Mm-hmm. One versus CPU says Slow King. That's interesting. Now, Slow King, not actual royalty. He just happens to be wearing a crown. But I don't know. He's pretty regal. Have you ever seen Pokemon 2000, the second Pokemon animated movie, the one with Lugia?
If I have, I don't remember a single thing about it. I feel like I might have, but I just don't remember at all.
Wish that was on Amazon watch parties. That was, I actually liked that one good bit, and Slow King has a prominent role in it. Benji Klatsky.
He looks really cool, by the way. He looks great.
He's great. He's also, and I wish they did this more, it's an example of a new evolution added to a line from like the first game. So like, you know, there was Slow Poke and Slow Bro, and then Slow King was like a new one. Actually, I think Slow Poke just evolves into Slow King separately. I don't know. But the point is, I like when Pokemon get new evolutions instead of just here's a new Pokemon. I don't know why. I always like that. Benji Klasky says, seeing how you are both Nintendogs and Kings, my answer must be Wart. There you go.
There you go.
Who even knows anymore, says King Koopa. Damn it. King Koopa. So, you know, I'm very much, and I think a lot of us are like, he's still Dr. Robotnik to me, damn it.
Right.
I got over calling him King Koopa very fast. As soon as they were like, he's Bowser now, I was like, yeah, that's better.
Yeah, that is better. That's what it is, right? It's just a better name. I have nothing against King Koopa, but Bowser sounds more like what he looks like.
He was King Koopa in the cartoon still.
Right.
It was weird because he's King Koopa, and then like the minions are called Koopas, and I was like, it's too much.
I have a DVD player in the van, and I was at Menards tonight, which is a real store. Everybody, it's not just a funny word.
Yeah, guy, great savings at Menards.
Yeah, he gets it. And they had a DVD. It's the weirdest store. It's like Target and Home Depot fucked. And there was a lot of DVDs, and there was a bunch of Super Mario Super Show DVDs. And I'm like, I'm going to get these and keep them in the van for long drives and make my kids watch this. That makes me a weird dad, and I'm down with that. So
there you go.
That's happening in the van now.
No, I've always seen those Mario Show DVDs in, like, bargain bins.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that,
they were $5. I got two of them, so.
Well, it's Mario, so it's like, there must be some interest in this old-ass shit. Turbo Sean, oh, he's not going to be happy with me, says, Rosalina, of course. I've already gushed about what a great character and in-universe leader she is in the favorite Wafu/Husbando episode. Who could forget that?
Yeah.
That somehow wasn't just a shared fever dream we all had. So this time I'll just add, she's not constantly getting kidnapped in her games. Take that, Peach and Daisy. That is true. I don't think she's ever been kidnapped canonically.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy only kidnapped once, though, I think. So that's something. Jim Ryan to 908 says, my favorite is Mike Minotti, King of Gay Mess Jeopardy in Arcade Pit. Well, that's very true. Jack, people were very impressed with my last Arcade Pit appearance, the one where I beat you.
Well, I mean, listen. You got all the RNG. What am I supposed to do about that?
I didn't.
Our video gameplay was pretty even, and I came out on top multiple times.
Maybe it was even. Maybe I mean, look, in the one time we actually went head-to-head
The one time we went head-to-head
was on the manhole
F-Zero.
Cover game.
Yeah, F-Zero.
Oh,
good point.
Shit, you
yeah.
did beat me in F-Zero a little bit. That's right. Okay, never mind. Let's not talk about this anymore. Anyways, he says, in Universe, I choose King DDD. As a friend, he's either helping Kirby or participating in fun minigames and has shown to put his Waddle Dees before himself. As a rival, he delivers awesome boss fights with incredible music. The Mask DDD theme is fire. I love King DDD. I think his current look is a little derpy. There's something off-putting about it. Dr. Suss says the greatest royal has to be the principal antagonist of the Switch game, by which we measure all Switch games, Luigi's Mansion 3, King Boo. He's the king of the Boos. Need to say more. I have a friend who would definitely answer King Boo. King Boo has some fans.
I like King Boo's design, and especially in Luigi's Mansion 3.
He's very good in Luigi's Mansion 3. I think he's very good as like a secondary like Mario antagonist, right?
Yeah,
like
totally.
Bowser's Law. In fact, it was even kind of annoying in the first Luigi's Mansion. It was like, oh, actually, it's King Boo disguised as Bowser, so it was like kind of a Bowser fight after all. It's like, no, just make it King Boo. Jayden says my favorite has to be King Babam from Mario 64. I'm glad Nintendo is starting to do more with him by putting him in Mario Kart Tour and Mario Golf. Also, his mustache looks good. I didn't realize he was in those games. That's pretty cool, actually.
What game is? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, you could play as him in Mario Kart Tour. That's right. I remember seeing that and getting so mad that I couldn't. They wouldn't bring that to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. They really should still do that.
Yeah, man, I would love that. Yeah, I almost want to start up Tour. Maybe finally get Mario Golf. Probably not though. Major Faison says after Kirby Forgotten Land, it has to be King DDT. He sacrificed his safety for a single Waddle Dee, and his theme fucking rocks in the game. Again, those are all good things. His design is just a little weird to me.
You said King DDT, which is actually Jake Roberts.
King DDT. That's incredible. King DDT! What are the odds that Jake Roberts knows who King DDD is? Is it in
wrestling,
double digits?
It's like 9%. There's a 9% chance.
I think
it's not
that's
quite double digit.
I think that's high.
I think it's 9%. I think he's surrounded by so many gamers. There's a 9% chance.
I think he does not hear them. I think they say things about King DDD and it's just over.
Sure, fair enough. Yeah.
Breadfish has gotta be Emperor Kanbei from Advance Wars. Not only is he the fearless leader of Yellow Comet, as a playable CO, he is unbelievably broken and overpowered in Advance Wars 2. Mercy has no place on the battlefield. You're the Advance Wars guy, Jeff. Do you have anything about this Emperor or something that I can't pronounce?
Not particularly. I mean, I like him. He's got the kid that is actually, I think you play with a little bit more. He's fine. He's cool. There's nothing wrong with him.
Creamy Madden says, might be a boring answer, but it's actually Princess Peach. She's my go-to in Smash Brothers, and it's so much fun, Peach bombing fools. I also do okay as her in Mario Kart also. How do you feel about Princess Peach, Jeff? I mean, she's iconic.
I love her.
I don't hate her. See, I don't know. I don't know if I love her.
I love her. Love her, dude.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the, you know, the iconic princesses, Lossian says Princess Zelda. She is the most badass Nintendo royal. What's your favorite version of Princess Zelda, Jeff?
Oh, Wind Waker. I mean, Princess.
Well, I like Tetra a lot. When she turns into Zelda, it's almost like a downgrade. I don't know.
Can I not just count Tetra as Zelda?
I don't know. You have to do the whole thing. You have to do the whole package. I liked her. It was weird to me that when she became Zelda, her skin color became lighter. Like, she lost her tan. That part of it was weird.
Okay, well, listen, I'm not trying to be racist, Mike.
It's not racist. It's a tan, but it still was weird. It was a tan. It was still weird that that happened. Actually, even though Twilight Princess isn't one of my favorite Zeldas, I like that Princess Zelda a lot. Like, she was like the real serious Zelda, like almost too serious to the point I kind of liked it.
She was like Galadriel.
Yeah, that's the Galadriel Zelda. You're right. Yeah. It was kind of good.
She's scary. Yeah.
She'd be the one with the strap on. Bench JC says, Bowser Jr., he's just a cute little boy, and I love seeing him in whatever game he's in. How can you not like Bowser Jr.? I don't know if I like Bowser Jr.
What? Yeah.
What's wrong, Jeff?
Nothing.
Keep up with me, Jeff. Listen,
I didn't hear any lies. You're right, okay?
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying what everybody knows.
Yeah. I mean, listen, just say it. You're right. Bowser Jr., he doesn't count. He's not getting the crown. When Bowser kicks it, Bowser Jr. will get eaten alive immediately.
Yeah, no one will take him seriously, right? He'll be like, all right, now I'm the king. No one's going to listen to him. Everyone's just going to, start some kind of a banana republic. Yeah. No way. Like, K-Mech's going to try to take the crown or something. Mm-hmm. It'll be like that Twi'lek from Jabba's Palace. It'll last for like a little bit.
Yeah,
but then, like, Booster's going to come in and actually take over. Something like that. And then Mr. Boar says, the best Nintendo Royal is the King of Red Lions from Wind Waker. Ooh, that's a good answer. A Royal that is actually useful as a mode of transportation, the King of Red Lions saves Link and helps him in his journey, and the reveal of his true identity later in the game is a great moment, too. Yeah, King of Red Lions is good. Definitely my favorite of the, like, guide characters in Zelda games, which they all had to have for a while.
Yes, the King of Red Lions has got a cool... Like he's only a guide when you go up and talk to him, though, right? For the most part, I guess he probably like communicates to you telepathically.
He gave you that thing. Yeah, he gave you like a thing so he could talk to you. So sometimes he does like stop the game to talk to you, but it's not nearly as much as Fee.
Right.
It was a nice even.
Yes, it was a nice like retreat from that from Ocarina of Time and some of the other ones. So yeah, I like him a lot.
Oh my God, there's a piece of art coming up later that has already disturbed me, but. Before that, Hoff says, tough question for me as someone British and a Republican. I'm going to go with my first fictional royal, King DDD. Utterly ridiculous and over-the-top character. What an ending for Kirby's Dream Land. Yeah, oh yeah, like his boss battles have always been fun. I've gone on before how much I love fighting him in front of the Fountain of Dreams and Kirby's Adventure. And then he has his heel face turn. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Diego RP says, bow down to the King of Croc. Seriously, K. Rool has everything for a super memorable character, a goofy-ass name, great character design, memorable and charismatic boss fights, and even splendid Nightmare Fuel moments in that weird Donkey Kong CGI show. Oh, and to top it off, his reveal as a character for Smash Ultimate was incredible.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Fake out, it was great. K. Rool yeeting him the fuck out of there, the Gangplank Galleon, fuck yes. Bring him back for the next DK game, you cowards. Yeah, they actually do need to bring him back. Like
he should be a part of it, yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, people got mad the last time I trashed Tropical Freeze a little bit, but, like, who remembers that?
There's no way they do another Donkey Kong game without... A Donkey Country game, excuse me, without King K. Rool. They might do a Donkey Kong game without him, but I still think if they do, they should bring him into it.
Gangplank Galleon. I mean, people asked about SNES soundtracks before. Gangplank Galleon is, like, a top five SNES song.
Yes, it's easily.
And that ska version in Smash Brothers just makes me so freaking happy, Jeff.
Mm-hmm, I bet,
You know, people have talked before about like the Phoenix Down moments, right? Like, I didn't realize it's called. It took me a long time to understand the K. Rool pun.
Like cruel?
Yeah, I did not get that for a very long time as a kid, I have to admit.
I did get that one right away as a kid, but trust me, there's so many of that those kinds of things. That thread from the Reddit about the Phoenix Down, even while they were going through it, I was still like, just like the thread was saying, like, I still don't get it. And it, like, I had to listen to it like a couple times a day, a couple days later, and be like, oh, down as in feathers, like actual feathers.
I think Phoenix Down, I don't know if I got it immediately, but I got it at some point.
Yeah.
But King K. Rool, a very long time for me. Pablo Koss says, perhaps my favorite royal is King Daphne's Nahanzen Hyrule. aka the King of Red Lions. How the hell did he manage to get the top of Ganon's tower and reclaim the Triforce for himself in front of both Link and Ganondorf? The guy's a ninja. It's the only explanation. And for that, although, I mean, that's just an all-time great moment. It's like him coming out of nowhere. And basically, he did the Oolong thing from Dragon Ball, except Oolong wished for panties, and and the King of Red Lions did not.
King of Red Lions might also be, but not on screen.
Yeah, maybe if his daughter wasn't there, he would have been ashamed that he would have done. Fluffy Cloud Gamer says, don't really have a favorite, but shout out to Queen Sectonia from Kirby Triple Deluxe. Love the design of her character and thought her final boss fight was a lot of fun. Controversial take, but in terms of 3DS games, I kind of liked her fight more than Kirby Planet Robobot's finale, even though both were great. I love Triple Deluxe. Like, Planet Robobot is also very good. Planet Robobot gets a lot more of the attention because its hook was a bit better, like Kirby with mech suits. Triple Deluxe was basically, it's Kirby in 3D, but it was actually very, very good. So I like seeing some Triple Deluxe love. The Uncharted Wolf says, wow, what a coincidence that this question was chosen around the time of the Queen death and totally wasn't a plot. Frustrated by Mike, so he can have an excuse to talk about Daisy. In all seriousness, I'd go King Hippo from my favorite underrated Nintendo series Punch-Out. The self-appointed king of an unnamed island nation who doesn't have a nose and his weak point is his belly button. What's not to love? My favorite detail is in the title defense mode for Punch-Out Wii. He lazily tapes a sewer grate to his stomach to protect his weak point. That is fantastic.
Yes, I love all of that. I love every appearance of King Hippo. He's always the highlight of all those games. And getting him in Punch-Out for Wii, where the animation was just off the charts, maybe better animation than just about any other game ever, and it's a fucking Wii game, it was so nice to see him there.
I still don't know how Next Level was so much better at that stuff. Again, I talked about, like, you know, their animation work on Daisy. It's like, oh yeah, this character's great. And Striker's so good at that. Dugan says, let me tell the tale of Prince Tricky. Captured by Sharp Claws and taken to Ice Mountain, was rescued, and went on to save Queen Earthwalker using the potent white grub tubs.
Whoa.
Is this not ringing a bell? That's because he is completely upstaged by Fury power couple picture Furry. Below. Fury, yes, thank you. It's a disgusting picture of Crystal and Fox McCloud below this. I wouldn't, ugh.
But with foxy faces. And not foxy as in hot. But foxy as in containing fox-like qualities.
I felt better looking at Bowsette. G-Man Sir says, what the fuck? Anyway, ignoring the top image, my answer is King Boo. He's my favorite Nintendo villain. Luigi's Mansion 3, he goes unhinged. I just wish he had an amazing iconic theme like other Nintendo villains. Yeah, he is kind of missing that. Like, again, you know, King DDD is kind of associated with a pretty great boss song. And then King K. Rool has gameplay Galleon. Bowser's had a bunch of different great... Get that out of here!
Get what? I didn't do anything.
Yeah, right. Get that. It's so weird. I don't like it when they're look. They either have to look a lot like humans. They have to look a lot like animals. This in between zone, I don't like. Gerber says my answer was going to be Cacoletta from Superstar Saga, but further investigation says she isn't royalty, despite being her country's ruler. Weird. Yeah, Slow King is fine. You can keep that. All
right. True.
Snow King is fine. Pizza's okay. So it has to be Bowser, based entirely on how long he has retained his throne while having so many plainly untrustworthy heirs plotting his demise, and for presumably having their never-seen mother beheaded at some point, which history tells us is true king shit. Do you think there's no way Nintendo ever actually addresses who Bowser Jr.'s mother is, right? Aside from, like, the weird, like, thing where they tried to say Peach was and it was an obvious lie. I don't know.
Right. No, they've already done that bit, and so now it's just a mystery because there is no answer.
There is no answer. They have not thought about it. They just thought we should have a Bowser Jr. because remember we made baby Bowser. We kind of want that character in here again, but it can't be baby Bowser. Mm-hmm. So Bowser has a son. Sure. Jeff, that is it. I think we got a couple more super chats.
Yeah, we did. Let me get in here to Stream Elements, and I'll take a look here.
Yeah, stop posting weird pictures of furries.
I did not post. I just shared with the class. From Alex PSX, Mike secretly stealing Jeff's shirts, Minotti, and Grub, secret Daisy enjoyer, Grub. Now listen, I think Mike actually had this shirt before I ever had it, so whatever.
But that was the one they sent us, right?
No. I bought this at like at a Target or something.
Oh, I don't think I have that one then. You're good on that one.
Okay, fair enough. And then from Steven Sullivan, are you guys excited or nervous for Pikmin 4's new camera perspective, or do you prefer the gameplay experience akin to 3 Deluxe?
I assume it's just an optional. I assume you can get down there, but I assumed it would still have the normal camera view, right? Maybe I'm assuming things.
I would assume that too.
So guess we have to wait and see there. Inconclusive.
Right. I'm not sure how to feel about it yet.
All right, Jeff. Hey, you were playing some Breath of the Wild the other last night, actually.
Yes, I was. I was told by a coworker named Dan Reichert, who is the creative director at GiantBomb.com.
Well, what a title.
Yes, that he wants to do something he's calling the Hyrule Hustle. Now, what is the Hyrule Hustle? I don't fucking know. He won't tell me. He just says, I need to go play Breath of the Wild. I need to start a new save. I need to beat the tutorial area. And then I need to run to the most southwestern part of the map and go to the.
I assume he's going to have you race to the most northeastern part of the map.
Yeah, I think it's going to be much more weird than that. Anyway, I'm racing against Jess O'Brien, and he's going to be sort of officiating it with all his rules. One thing he did mention is that I need to have the NES version of Nintendo Switch Online installed and ready to go.
Why? He's going to make you play Zelda 1 at some point?
I don't know. I honestly have zero idea. I have no idea what to expect, but I did that last night. It took 2.5 hours just to do that because I did the full tutorial. I wasn't like speed running or anything, but I did the tutorial and then I had to like run through the open world and deal with like finding a horse and going through the desert and stuff like that. It was a pretty lengthy thing. So I'm glad I got it out of the way. It was a good stream, actually. That game still really good. Turns out Breath of the Wild still stands up, holds up. I am hoping that all these years later and all these delays later, that Tears of the Kingdom really can build on it and do some amazing things, especially after falling in love with Elden Ring and seeing all the stuff that did with its open world. It's like, man, I know Tears of the Kingdom isn't going to be that exactly, but I just hope it has its own new hooks.
Let's say Tears of the Kingdom, we should talk about it a little bit because you named this episode after that. We haven't talked about it at all. Let's say Tears of the Kingdom is just what we see in the trailer. It's just kind of more Breath of the Wild, but with some of these like flying, like these higher up areas. There's more elevation. There's these floating areas. And otherwise, it's mostly just Breath of the Wild. Would that not be enough for you?
No, that probably would be enough. I would probably want like a few more physics interactions and stuff. And I'd want the chemistry system to be a little bit more refined. But if that's all the stuff we get, then I'll be pretty happy for the most part. Just to be back in that world and kind of see the new content, I would probably be pretty happy. They just reworked the franchise. They just did it. So I'm not expecting some great leap forward again. I just want some refinements. So yeah, I think I'm probably going to be pretty happy with it no matter what. That said, it has been a very long time. So I just want the wait to also at the same time feel worth it, like globally, like not just for me, but for everyone that's been waiting.
I want those dungeon scrub.
I think it's very likely, right? We got seven Tears of the Kingdom. Where are those going to be hidden?
Could be in dungeons.
I think maybe. It could be dungeons. Yeah.
Be playing anything else, Jeff?
Let's see. I did get some stuff going. I'm trying to set up my Retroid Pocket 3. It's like every time I'm like, I want to go play something on it, I'm like, actually, I should put it on the side because I want to like go through the process of like getting it fully set up. So I was going to start my Super Mario RPG run over on there because I got it lost every time after my Retroid Pocket 2 got broke on one of my trips. But I did have other stuff going on my Switch. I played more Splatoon 3, of course, and I started doing like the single player campaign, things like that. And I'm like still very into Splatoon 3 and everything it's doing. But at this point, there's not much new to say.
Yeah, no, I get you there. And I've been enjoying Splatoon 3 also. And again, I've been mostly playing a lot of Xenoblade Chronicles 3 myself, and it has still been very good. I want to get to these new Genesis games that they added.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna try those too.
Lycia Dragoon is one I've never tried before that people like. I've played Beyond Oasis before, and it was fun. I didn't get super far. I kind of want to play her from gym again, see if like something we're gonna fight about. I don't know.
No, I.
I'll probably like play it and get this really strong opinion about it. Then I'll come to you and you'll be like, "Well, I'm the I just think it's boring, but I'm not like mad about it." Actually, cool. You are mad about it when it comes to Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim 2, it was really bad. I'll try Earthworm Jim 1 again, but I know that it actually is a pretty bad game. I mean, I know it is. I played it before.
Thrak brings this up. Did you know that Beyond Oasis has a Saturn sequel? Legend of Oasis? Pretty good, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Legend of Oasis does not sound familiar in a way that all those other games always do. So it must have been like, on the Saturn where it was like, at that point, even if I was like, I was like following stuff, like EGM wouldn't have a ton of Saturn stuff. Like they had some, they didn't have a ton. Like it was all PlayStation and N64.
No, absolutely. That's right. But yeah, these Oasis games are good. All right, Jeff. I think that does it.
Yeah, I think so. That's good. Well, let's wrap it up. I'm going to hit the button.
All right. Thank you for listening to Last of the Nintendogs, everybody. Jeff and I will be back on Thursday for Game Mess Decides. Ooh, next week's topic. I almost forgot. Have you ever played a Nintendo game with special rules before, like Nuzlocke? Let me know. If you ever made up your own kind of challenge or if you found a community challenge, just maybe played it in a weird way that wasn't necessarily intended.
I will definitely have an answer for you next week, apparently. I'm doing the Hyrule Hustle on Friday on GiantBomb.com.
There you go. I have at least one that I've done myself before, so that'll be fun. Jeff, who's on Game Mess morning tomorrow?
Let's see. John Warren from Fanbyte, formerly of Fanbyte, he's going to be on tomorrow. Then Merrick K is going to be on Thursday. And then on Friday, I think I'm going to have to find somebody. So it might be you last minute if I can't find anybody else. But there's a lot of people from Fanbyte I want to get on. So we're working on that. And honestly, I might reach out to some of the other sites that have problems. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. I love men.
That man is dead.
All right. So everyone, is everyone else having like real trouble like thinking about anything other than his penis hole? Because it just won't go away. What do I do? Someone help me, please.
Someone forces Mike.
Someone please help me.
What happened?
Nothing. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's real rough. Mike penis hole harassed me. Yeah, listen, it happens.
Okay.
If my Hey Fortnite is fun, yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a good game.
I'm beyond confusion now.
Listen, I don't know. If you weren't listening, you're not going to understand. Beef Hammer, hey, Jeff, you passed 100,000 Twitter followers, apparently.
I think my brain is self-protecting itself. It's like, shouldn't understand what's going on here.
Yeah, Mike mentioned that last week sometime. That it's like, yeah, you got it. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize. I was like, I knew I was in the 90,000s for a while. That's the last time I like really looked at it. That is a number I have never paid much attention to because it doesn't feel real. It's never felt real. Like even when it was like 8,000, it didn't feel real. So I didn't like think about it too much. Hey, Jeff, have you seen Trombone Champ? Do I have news for you? Here, let me grab that. Let's see here. Let's go to twitter.com/. You know what? Let's get it here. Let's bring it up. twitter.com/JeffGrubMedia. And then
Street Fighter is kind of loud.
He might have order, and you might.
Let's see. Survive.
Here, look at all that.
All right, so everyone, I need everyone to turn down the lights, get the candles out. It's time for some sweet lovemaking music. Let's do it. Oh no! Shit! Where'd it go? All right, so everyone, I need everyone to turn down the lights, get the candles out. It's time for some sweet lovemaking music. Let's do it. All right, if you placed all of the trombones on Earth end to end, they would wrap around the solar system four times.
At least.
Hey, girl.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Nasty.
It's fun. It's a good game. Yeah, I've been playing it. It's fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like a legit really
he's
good
going
time.
For it. He's
yeah, go for it. You can unlock
I'm concentrating so hard.
And like trumpet. They call the Cowboys trombone.
The Cowboys trombone. That's right.
Yeah, it's got a good sense of humor. Actually, hang on. Let's just get truly stupid right here. Oh, so stupid. All right, sorry about that, everybody.
You're okay, Jeff. I think we have a single super chat, so you can just maybe read that when we get back, and then we'll do the topic.
Okay, let's see. Tips, members. Okay, I got it. I'm ready if you want to bring us back in.